So a few weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about education. And, well, the podcasts I listen to are authors talking about what they've written. So it's like, it's the Cliff Notes.
Like going to the movie instead of reading the book. It's okay.
So this is how this podcast is going to go. So
no, I'm done.
So, but I was listening to the podcast, and the author was, the interviewee was talking about what he believes we should be teaching kids in school.
Oh.
And one of the things he said in a very provocative manner is, who cares about academics and algebra and all these other things? We should be teaching kids how to think and problem solve and use critical thinking skills, and we should be teaching them these life lessons instead of worrying so much about specific, you know, what year this thing was signed or what this thing does. And so it goes very well with the article that we're going to talk about today, entitled Teaching for the Test or Teaching for Real Life.
You know, once again, this is the third time this week this has happened. People talk about things. We should never do that. We should never use a single score to make a decision. But we do with the teacher test. Right. Now there's 1,000 teachers who can't work. We should never use a single standard, but we use it. It happens in almost all walks of life that we should never use a single measure. And it's the same. That's what this is about, is that we are using test scores to make important decisions. Though we say we shouldn't do it, we continue to do it.
Yeah.
We say we shouldn't use this, and we shouldn't use a single test, and no child should be held back because of a test score. And yet we continue to hold children back because of a test score. It's always been confusing to me. Well, if we know all this, you know, senators should be cooperating with each other, but they don't. But nobody's doing anything about it. Everybody says it, but nobody's doing anything about it. And so this physician, he's a physician, Barrison, takes on this issue headlong, head first, just confronts it directly.
So we've often voiced our concerns with, as you just said, with the idea of standardized tests and using a specific test to make specific, sometimes critical decisions.
They're important decisions.
High stakes.
In school, in public education, if you're going to make a decision that changes the placement of a child, it has to be several sets of data and several people have to agree to that decision. No single piece of data and no single person can change a child's educational placement or program. It takes a group of people.
Unless it's the state test.
Unless it's this single test. Well, yeah, unless, but this one score on this state-sponsored test can negate everything we've ever said is worthwhile. You know, this is the best practice. This is the best approach. And yet, here we are relying on a single measure.
And so this author talks about, you know, he acknowledges initially that he is not a very good test taker.
Again, I like that. You know, Jim Taylor said, I was wrong. This guy says, I'm not a good test taker. So, okay, good. Full disclosure.
That's right. And so he starts out with that, and then kind of starts a list of things that have happened that have introduced more and more tests, and again, high stakes tests, standardized tests that have significant implications to the future of students and kids in general. So, you know, and again, we've talked about this on the podcast before, that as we continue to, you know, think about this life of accountability and, you know, what we're doing to our teachers and what we're doing to our schools, and we got to grade this and we got to score that, and we need, you know, this high performing this or magnet schools and charters. You know, when you look at any of those things individually, you may think, well, you know, it's great. Look at that magnet school. Look how well it's performing, and those, look at the opportunities those students have. But we, when we focus specifically on that school, we don't look at the other school that's, you know, a couple of miles away that is struggling. Right. Because all of the resources and everything go to the magnet school, mm-hmm. and the other school is being choked. And
you know, one of the insidious features mm-hmm. of No Child Left Behind was the higher your grade, the higher your performance, mm-hmm. the more money you got.
Right.
The lower your performance, the less money you got. I thought that was upside down,
right?
You know, and backwards and inside out. That was bad policy.
Right.
No other name for it. Because you're right. You can have schools, and this happens around the country. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Kozol wrote a book one time called Savage Inequality, yep. that captures this notion that you can have a school in one area of town mm-hmm. that consistently has good test results, and a mile away you can have schools that consistently produce poor test results.
Right.
And the difference is not in their teachers,
right.
or
right.
principals.
Yeah, you have a school, and this is the case here in our town. You have a school in a poor area of town, mm-hmm. But it's a magnet school.
Right.
And so they score very well. They bring in strong mm-hmm. students from all over the town. And because their student scores are so high and the school right. scores so high because of those test scores, mm-hmm. the students all have iPads or laptops, or they have the enough of those resources Everything. That each student can have their own.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you know, two and a half miles down the road, there's mm-hmm. another school that isn't a magnet school, that doesn't right. have all of those additional resources, and they may have, you know, one computer in every classroom, and that right. computer is like 10 years old, 15
right.
years old.
Right.
And so those kinds of inequalities are... Mm.
They're rampant. They're across the country. They're in every city in the United States right now.
Right. And the root of that, and as this author talks mm-hmm. about, the root of that is because our focus is on Common Core, or it's on the specific academic skills.
Right.
We're not necessarily teaching the important life skills mm-hmm. that we need to be teaching.
There was a study done. It was called the Perry Preschool Project.
Mm-hmm.
It must, I think it was in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
It was long. I mean, and the all the data from that project, it was to bring kids from impoverished mm-hmm. backgrounds into preschool, like
yeah.
Head Start kind
like
of
Head
program,
Start, yeah.
right? And so this economist, 30 or 40 years later, mm-hmm. reanalyzed all those data. And what he found was it didn't raise their IQs, it didn't raise mm-hmm. their achievement, but it gave them life skills
mm-hmm.
that they were able to use. That
right.
that was the crucial difference.
Right.
Now, we've known this for 40-some years.
Right.
We're not doing it,
right.
but we know that what keeps people out of poverty and off welfare and employed and off drugs and married, staying married, maintaining relationships, are these non-academic, non-cognitive skills.
Right.
And yet, what do? We have a national program now
mm-hmm.
specifically designed to teach cognitive skills called Common Core.
Its
sole focus is academic skills,
mm-hmm.
right? Yes, academic, not cognitive. So even though we know
mm-hmm.
that that's not the important variable,
right.
our entire educational policy at a national level
mm-hmm.
is designed to improve academic skills.
Right.
It's a reintroduction. It's a resurrection
right.
of No Child Left Behind.
Right.
Same wine in same casks, old wine in new casks. That's what they said. That's what they said about something. I don't know. Somebody wrote an article. Old wine in new casks. No, old new wine in old casks.
You have to look that up.
Yeah, we have old casks.
I've told this story before, but this issue sticks with students, people as mm-hmm. they age. And one of the first classes that I taught in college was an undergraduate communications course.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the first day of class, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and I'm sort of very green in my teaching,
right.
but I say in the first day of class, I say, you know, I want you all to practice critical thinking skills in this class. And so we're not going to assume that there is a right answer to much of this. You know, there's some facts, but whenever you ask a question, many times I'm just going to turn the question around and hear from you. I want to hear what you guys would think about some of these things, and I'll share my opinions, of course,
mm-hmm.
but I want you to exercise some critical thinking skills, because just because I'm the instructor and I'm standing in front right. of the class doesn't mean that everything I say is absolute fact. Mm-hmm. And they all agreed and everything. So I did just that throughout the semester. And then I got my teacher ratings back from the students, because of course we have to rate everyone yes. based on their performance. And so I get my teacher ratings back and I did okay. But when I look at the comments, mm-hmm. you know, several students wrote, class was great, but the instructor would never tell us the answer. He would just have us answer questions.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, that was the whole purpose.
Whole point. Right.
And we're not teaching those skills to kids.
Right.
And so they get to college, and in college, they're just looking for the answer. What is the right answer?
Right.
We're not teaching them to think. We're not teaching them to, we talked yesterday about being self-reliant. We're not mm-hmm. teaching them to be self-reliant. They're dependent on me to tell them right. the answer.
Right.
Well, that's not how we want our kids to function.
That's not what education should be.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we have to shift that perspective. And again, this right. is what the article talks about today.
Yeah, because what he talks about in the article is if your focus is on a standardized test, it's a very narrow definition
right.
of what it means to be educated.
Right.
If you can answer the right factual question, then if that's your goal, that's one of the goals of standardized tests. It's a very narrow definition mm-hmm. of knowledge, and it should be broader.
Right.
Okay? But it's also your ability to do well on that kind of a test.
Right.
And there are people who do well on those kind of tests, and there are people who don't do well.
Right.
We encounter this all the time
right.
on even one-on-one test settings, where you'll ask an examinee a very simple question, and you can see them thinking through it
right.
and making it more complicated than it really. No, the answer's Thursday, you know. And
yeah.
And yeah, but I was thinking it could be this, 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 and this. Those are positive attributes that
mm-hmm.
a person can think that way.
Right.
But not on the test that we use.
Right.
Because that gets you into trouble.
Absolutely.
You know? And so it's, you know, what do we want our schools
mm-hmm.
to do? And since No Child Left Behind, we have had this, it was actually a little bit before No Child Left Behind, but certainly at a national level, with No Child Left Behind, we've had this emphasis on standardized
mm-hmm.
tests.
Right.
Your A student's performance on a standardized test. We're using it to judge students, to judge teachers, to judge principals,
mm-hmm.
and it's all based on this single score, something we know we shouldn't do,
right.
but we do it anyway. Well, along then come the first change, since we got rid of No Child Left Behind because we realized it wasn't working, we've replaced it with Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Common Core is a set of very high standards,
mm-hmm.
academic standards, which most children don't need
mm-hmm.
because
right.
they're high standards. If you're planning to go to college,
right.
you don't need any of this stuff
mm-hmm.
if you're not going to go to college.
Right.
So once again, we've backed into this trap of high school is preparation for college. But it's not for 60% of children in high school.
Right.
Most children in high school are not going to go to college.
Right.
They're going to do something else. They're either
mm-hmm.
not going to go on, or they're going to go on to trade schools
mm-hmm.
or training programs or the military. They're not going to go to college. And yet the entire national curriculum is based on Common Core, which is the achievement of these very
mm-hmm.
narrowly defined academic goals.
Right.
Getting the right answer
right.
is what it's about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the author proposes this CASEL model. It's
yes.
the Collaboration for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning.
Right.
And it's a very interesting model, because it starts sort of the smaller circle is the
mm-hmm.
classroom, and then it expands
right.
to the school, and then it expands to family and community.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks at five different domains.
Right.
Self-awareness, self-management, responsible decision-making,
right.
relationship skills, and
mm-hmm.
social awareness.
Right.
And the emphasis here is that we need to make sure that we're teaching these five sets of skills.
Right.
Because they influence each of these three
That's right.
broad areas.
Neither of us has any opposition
mm-hmm.
to teaching the multiplication tables,
sure.
correct spelling,
right.
reading speed. I don't have any problem with any of that.
You, mm-hmm.
I think everybody should learn algebra.
Sure.
Okay? At least Algebra 1. I don't
right.
think everybody needs Algebra 2, but I think all of us should know something.
I don't think that your ability to graduate from high school should be dependent upon you making an A or passing some state mandated test
right.
about algebra.
That's
but
right.
you should be introduced to the idea of algebraic concepts.
I think everybody should take a biology course.
Sure.
You know, I think it's, I think that should take biology every year.
Yeah.
If I had my druthers, you'd be learning about biology and chemistry for all 4 years of high school. You'd mm-hmm. take it every year, and you would really understand science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you would really understand numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You would really understand reading after you've gone through a high school education, because that makes you an educated person. Okay,
right.
I don't care whether you get the right answer; it makes you an educated person. And he makes a very good point. And again, the precision of language. He says, just because you're eligible for college.
Mm-hmm.
By getting a high SAT score,
right.
doesn't mean you're ready for college.
Right.
Because going away to college, hopefully you'll go away, going away to college is more than just getting the right answer.
Right.
It's about handling crises. It's about maintaining a schedule. It's about mm-hmm. self-discipline. All of the things in that CASEL model.
Right.
We also should be getting kids ready for college, not just eligible for college.
Right. And so what does all that sound like? Being self-reliant, which
right.
is exactly what we talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So these two articles kind of go together
right.
because of the, you know, the importance of those life skills that makes one self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing algebra doesn't make you self-reliant.
That's right.
You just know how to work
you know
those
algebra.
Numbers.
Right.
But knowing how to make good decisions mm-hmm. and how to, you know, take care of yourself and how to interact and engage with other people,
right.
those are self-reliant skills that you need to take with you to be successful.
That's right. And at the end of this article, he has, you know, he said, well, does this work? Are we giving up? Just being good at algebra doesn't say anything about your character.
Right.
Okay. I always shudder when I have people who get perfect scores on their SATs and are completely unable to manage their
right.
lives, okay?
Right.
To me, that's not a good trade,
right.
okay? I don't care how well you do in school. If you don't have the stamina, the
right.
the resilience, the mm-hmm. character to help others, to help yourself. At the end of this article, he said, well, what's the alternative? Well, the alternative has been used.
Right.
And he mentions at the end of the article two projects. He mentions three or four, but two that stand out was one school in Ohio and another in Illinois, in Chicago, where they actually built
mm-hmm.
and implemented the CASEL sort of
right.
curriculum. And in both cases, the students' performance on the academic measures actually rose,
right.
even though the emphasis was on other
right.
things. And not only did their test scores go up, but their success after graduation was
mm-hmm.
much higher
right.
than the average.
Right.
Okay, and so it does work. It's
right.
not like some theory that's never been shown. It has been shown
right.
to be effective.
Right.
So
and if you really think about that, that we see that as counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's not all that dissimilar from what we think or see when we look at Finland, for example.
Finland does this
because you know. We often look at Finland because they're often ranked mm-hmm. at the top in the world as it relates
right.
to you know the education system. You know, they don't start teaching reading until the kid's like 7 or 8 years old.
Until kids are ready to read.
Right.
Which
you know, they
makes
focus
sense.
On playing and social relationships during.
They go out two or three times a day. They have recess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done away with it in this country, but
right.
they have it two or three, and they're doing better than we are.
Their school days are shorter. They're,
right.
you know, so we do need to really reanalyze the way that we're approaching
right.
education, and you know, none of us have the well. Betsy DeVos may be listening to the podcast. If she's listening to the podcast, you know, please let's think about some of these changes. Otherwise, very few of us can make any major changes individually. But we can, you know, we can certainly band together and make some demands on our
yeah, it's
on
really,
our system.
It's really a shame that there was another teacher strike this week,
mm-hmm.
I think in Washington. And it's really a shame that teachers have to go on strike, which
mm-hmm.
is an adversarial relationship, to get what they know their students need. It's
right.
not just about salaries. Teachers
right.
should be paid $100,000 a year everywhere. That's what they did in Germany. When Germany wanted to improve its education,
mm-hmm.
they raised teacher salaries. Didn't do anything else. They just paid teachers more, mm-hmm. and everything improved, okay? Right. Because you attract good people and you retain good people. Right. People are leaving the teaching profession in droves in this country mm-hmm. because you can't, you're below the poverty line if right. you have a family. Right. And you're a first or second year teacher, so teachers shouldn't have to strike mm-hmm. to do the right thing.
Right.
We should be using the information we have. We know what works.
Right.
Let's implement it.
Absolutely. So, all right, that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.